Good morning. My name is Yordanos. I'm a junior, and I will be reading from 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10. And the Holy Scripture says, "Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out to darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Well, thank you, Yordanos. You might be surprised by the kinds of things that are sent to the president's office at Hope College. For example, late last December, I received a curious package in the mail. It contained a small dolomitic stone, which the sender believed possessed remarkable powers to interpret the future. Now, this is not that stone, and I want to thank Professor John Peterson for dragging that stone here I didn't think I would be able to lift it, but it is heavy, and it's not like that little stone that was sent in the mail, but it's an object lesson for what we're going to talk about today. Now, the passage which was just read by Yordanos concerns a very remarkable stone itself, and that is a living stone. You know, the very notion of a living stone seems obtuse and jarring. An oxymoron, a living stone. After all, stones are inanimate. They are lifeless, except for those who know about molecules and so forth. To be sure, there are chia stones, pet rocks that are dressed up with vegetation, right? But a living stone seems to be to us a non sequitur. It makes no sense. However, in this morning's passage, the Apostle Peter declares that Jesus Christ is a living stone. Moreover, Peter suggests that those who come to Jesus and believe that he is the Messiah also become living stones who are built into a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. Now, all this language about living stones and spiritual houses and priesthoods seems somewhat confusing to us in our world today. But remember that Peter was a Jew who was referring to Old Testament passages which spoke of the coming Messiah as the cornerstone of a new covenant, the cornerstone of a new relationship with God. Now, the builders in those days, as today, in constructing buildings of rocks and boulders and bricks, and they chose to pick the best, well-formed stone to be the cornerstone of these buildings, the most steadfast foundation for the entire structure. So Jesus, a living stone, is also a cornerstone of the church, the building that we are part of, the spiritual body that we are part of. Now, as living stones, as those called to be members of the church, this spiritual building, if you will, we comprise a holy priesthood, a priesthood of believers. The priests are the mediators, the mediators of the will and the blessings of God. So, what does it mean for you and I who are living stones here at Hope College on February 9th, 2018, on the last day before winter break? Well, it seems to me that we are all privileged to respond in two ways. First, we gather here to honor and praise Jesus the Messiah, the cornerstone, the Lord, the rock of our salvation, the incarnate one, the Redeemer, all of that. And we are doing that right now, and we do it often here at Hope College at Dimnit Chapel. We are praising Jesus with our hearts and our minds and our voices. And then after we leave here, we praise Jesus Christ with a service that we give to others around us. Psalm 50, the great psalm of praise, says that we are to praise the Lord wherever we are in every way. Just a couple phrases. We are to praise him in his mighty firmament. We are to praise him in his mighty deeds, for his deeds. We are to praise him according to his surpassing greatness. We are to praise with trumpet sound, with lute and harp, with tambourine and dance. We're to praise him with clanging pipes. We're to praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. When Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives on that first Palm Sunday, his followers began to praise God loudly and joyfully. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd ordered Jesus to stop them. And Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones themselves would shout out. Our second response is found in verse 9 of this passage. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I think the key words for this morning for us are those connectives. In order that, we have been chosen for a purpose. We are to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. We have been chosen to give witness to the grace of God through Jesus Christ. We have been chosen to live our lives as mediators of the love and peace and grace of Christ. We are to be advocates of justice. We are to be purveyors of compassion. We are to be heralds of equality. We are to be servants of the marginalized. We are to be the guardians of the truth. And what a privilege. What a wonderful privilege it is to be called and chosen for a purpose. So, my friends, living stones, have a wonderful winter break. Some have already begun it, you see. Praise God. Praise God with joyful witness, the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you.